Want to be protected from opinions you don't like? Then you better go somewhere else, because this is not a safe space. This is American Viewpoints with Mike Ferguson.
So here's where we're at. We're seeing so many groups that are blaming Israel for the hideous things that are happening in the Middle East right now. Well, we've had that for a long time. We've had that anti-Semitic, we've had that anti-Israel narrative for many years in the United States, especially on college and university campuses. But what's happening and what's going to happen if this is allowed to go unchecked, maybe with a market response, which is what we're seeing when donors saying, I'm out, I'm done. But should there be other things that happen? I'm now joined by Sharice Trump from Speech First. And Sharice, good to talk to you again. It's one thing for college kids to be just young, dumb college kids. But this is really concerning, not just because we've got kids who are putting their ignorance on display, but we've got a spillover effect on many other areas of communities and our culture as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, as you mentioned, the anti-Semitism sentiment, the anti-Israel sentiment, and the pro-Palestinian sentiment have all existed on college campuses for a very long time. There have been a number of incidents where we've already seen issues with viewpoint discrimination and blatant discrimination against Jewish organizations on campuses through things such as the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement that was pushed by many pro-Palestinian students for years. And so we've seen a lot of this already taking place. I think what we're seeing here, though, in this case, is the culmination of not only that sentiment that we just talked about, but also this far left woke ideology and what it really takes people to when they follow it all the way. Because this is an ideology that believes the ends justify the means. And when you think that violence is okay and justified in order to pursue your own political agenda, that's a horrible lesson to be teaching students. And the left has thought this for a long time. They've already, 30% of college students say they believe it's okay to use violence against someone who expresses speech or that they disagree with, using physical violence against someone because they believe speech in its own self is violence. There's plenty of other examples of ways that this ideology has led people thinking that, again, the end justify the means. So I think it's important to recognize that connective tissue there. In addition, you also see, we were talking earlier, Ivy Leagues and some of these elite institutions that for years have been telling students to be hypersensitive to things like microaggressions, or you should, if there's ever an incident or you ever feel uncomfortable or you ever feel like you're mentally uncomfortable, then you should report it to someone on campus. You should report your fellow students and make sure you shut them down and get them disciplined for just even merely questioning you or your motives. And so now universities are starting to trying to figure out, like, how do we square that rhetoric that we've been telling students for all these years with the fact that now we actually have students who are feeling that way who we don't really agree with ideologically. So it's quite the question here, because, and I'm curious how it's going to eventually play out. Universities are squirming because they are losing money over this. Right. And the most, they care mostly about money and reputation. That's their primary goals. So that's something that's definitely at risk for them.
Yeah, in a way.
But I'd be curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, you could say, for instance, the donors and the grantors pulling back and saying, I'm done donating to your university because you're allowing this sort of blatant anti-Semitism. And you could call that a market response of sorts to what's happening right here. So you've got a conflict of, college students generally are dumb and they say dumb things because they're young and they're dumb. And that happens, and that's part of the experience and the process. But like you're saying, when we're getting to something this grotesque, it didn't happen in a vacuum. It's been encouraged, and all of a sudden, not to be too cliche, the chickens have come home to roost. You tell people that you push this far left ideology, and now they have an opportunity to put it into practice. And oh my goodness, what do you know? It's anti-Semitic. Who could have known right. That was going to be the case? Except all of us who have any sort of objectivity to look at it. So I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, you've got a right to say stupid, offensive things on campus if you want to say that. So, but where do we go from here to actually address the issue and the problem at hand?
Well, I think first universities need to figure out how to reconcile this double standard that they've been pushing for years. They believe in free speech and protecting free speech in order to protect these pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian groups and their protests on campus. There's so much evidence that years before they did not support free speech when they didn't agree with the messaging. There are biased reporting systems on campuses across the country, including many of these Ivy League institutions that are struggling with this, where they encourage students to report on each other anonymously for merely having disagreeing opinions. They abuse harassment policies to target constitutionally protected speech. So there's plenty of evidence that shows that they don't believe in free speech, but then suddenly now that they do, they think that it's okay. And so this double standard needs to be called to, people need to call attention to this. You need to call the universities out. And I think this is another thing that shows that, as you mentioned, the market response, donors and alumni have a serious role to play here. And, you know, we've been pushing that a lot at Speech First, trying to get them more involved, get them more active, putting pressure on the board members of the universities to say, look, if you're going to be at higher education institution, there is a certain standard that you need to abide by. One of those is just merely respecting the Constitution of the United States and students' rights. But also, you know, there's nothing stopping you from taking a position on some of these major issues. You know, when it comes to condemning terrorism, that is not a controversial position. That is a position that anyone could take. The only reason you would hesitate to take that position is if, one, you're afraid of this kind of woke mob on your campus because you've basically emboldened them for years and now you have lost control of them. Or two, you genuinely believe that terrorism is a reasonable method to acquiring one's end. So this is something that the universities could easily come out and condemn, but for some reason they struggled so much with it in the beginning, and I think that's really where the donors can call them out on it.
We're visiting with Charisse Trump from Speech First, and Charisse will give out the website and all that sort of thing here in just a minute. There's a lot of people who say, man, glad my kids got through college before all this nonsense really took over, so I don't have to worry about it. First, let's start here in the last couple minutes we've got left with, why does this matter to everybody? And secondly, you know, you've mentioned the donors and you've mentioned, you know, putting pressure on the boards, but why does this matter to everybody? And secondly, how can it be addressed in a way that doesn't violate anybody's right to free speech, including mm-hmm. the left-wing nuts out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with your second question. So there are definitely ways to address this. One is just supporting students' free speech rights. So you actually, there are a lot of faculty right now who are joining in with these pro-Palestinian protests, and a lot of them are designed to be at the same time or, you know, parallel to another maybe pro-Israel rally that's taking place. And the goal is to drown out the sound of the pro-Israel rally. That is a violation of the students' free speech rights. You know, when you see people tearing down kidnapping flyers and stopping students from handing out flyers of kidnapping victims from, that were kidnapped by the terrorists, then this is a violation of their free speech rights and their expression rights. So it's a matter of, if schools are going to come in here and defend the pro-Palestinian rallies as free speech, then they also need to protect the Jewish students who are expressing themselves as well. And again, this comes down to understanding the legality of viewpoint discrimination and free speech on college campuses. That this is a teaching moment that administrators really can take the opportunity to teach and educate students on these laws and on this unique culture in this country and kind of explain that to them. And so we have seen some evidence there, and I think what you mentioned, the donor and alumni are pushing back. This is important for everyone to understand that this is the future of our country. These, you know, whether we like it or not, most leadership positions in any field right now are still college educated individuals. So they are going to go through this 4 to 6 year to 8 year process of being credentialed. And, you know, if we disagree with what the universities are doing, that's one thing. You can try to get students to stop going to college. But for the meantime, all of our future leaders are coming out of these institutions, and we need to make sure that they actually know what's going on in reality, that they're not relying on social media for all of their facts, that they actually care about the principles and the foundational ideas of this country, and that they can come out exhibiting real leadership. We don't want a bunch of people who are used to getting their way because they scream their heads off and shout people down and use violence to exact their own ends. We want people who actually have, you know, principled convictions, who are virtuous and who have a strong moral compass that really aligns itself with what America, the American way of life. And so that's who we want to be leading our companies, like tech companies. You know, think about this: national security, anything in the government, tech companies, CEOs of pharmaceutical companies. All of these roles are going to be filled by these college students down the road. Especially when we think about the judicial system, you've got future attorneys, judges, Supreme Court justices. So it's important that they respect these things early on in their education.
All right, Charisse, the organization is Speech First. They find you online where, and not just over the website, but also social media.
Yeah, you can learn more about us at speechfirst.org. On social media, you can find us at Speech First or me at Charisse Trump on Twitter. I also have a podcast called Well Said, where I interview experts on these types of issues and how they connect to, you know, the greater culture and society of America.
All right, Charisse, good chatting with you again. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And another thing that Speech First does, in addition to, frankly, interviews like this and awareness and writing op-eds, is they do litigation. So if they find that a student or maybe even a faculty member's free speech rights have been violated on a campus setting, they'll go to court. Let's connect on social media. Like I said a little bit earlier, I am at AVP Radio Show on Twitter or X. Thank you for making American Viewpoints part of your weekend. I'm Mike Ferguson. We'll talk to you again next week.